throughout history, it's the cultures that conquer are the ones that are allowed to write not only the history books, but even the books about the future. A case in point is the mysterious and enigmatic Book of Revelation. The Book of Revelation contains hundreds of symbols, imagery, that you can't find in the rest of the Bible except in one book, in the book of Genesis. The Omega text, the end, Revelation, seems to intertwine in its iconography with the beginning text, the Alpha text, Genesis. But with the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, all the way to the second to last book of the Bible, Jude, there's no correlates. It's like the beginning and the end are real and everything else in between is entirely fiction. But that's the subject for a whole nother slew of videos. My point is that Christianity adopted far older texts and rewrote them into the garb of the Book of Revelation. The Sibylline oracles and much of the content of the ancient Greek and Roman prophecies became what is known as the Book of Revelation. The seven seals, the seven vials, the seven thunders. There's so many, there's the seven-headed dragon. There are so many things that we find in more ancient writings, but not in the Old Testament or in the New, just in Genesis and Revelation. The Sibylline oracles are mysterious, and of course many of them are lost, but Tacitus and Tatian and so many other ancient Roman writers mention them and tell us about the books of the prophecies of the Sibyl. We have some of them today. We also have the Book of Revelation, which tells us quite a bit, and the mysteries that are attached to Cerinthius, who is attributed to have provided much of that material, not John the Apostle, which was later Christian cover story. Enjoy this presentation. This is about the legacy of the Sibyl that was passed on to Rome and how Rome preserved it to what we have today as the Book of Revelation. The court of Tarquinius, the seventh king of Rome, was frenzied with activity. The news had spread like a plague of the tradeways from Cumae. Knights, men-at-arms, acolytes, servants, mercenaries, foreign dignitaries, all together in a train, a huge escort ensuring the safe passage of the Sibyl. The prophetess brought old books to Rome. The visit was 515 B.C. Very ancient prophetic traditions from the era of the goddess were preserved among the temples of Ionia, the Aegean, and Ilium of Trojan fame. The Hellespontine Sibyl preserved many in the temple of Gerges, as did the Erythrae, the Erythraean Sibyl. The Cumaean Sibyl visited Tarquin the Proud in Rome. Among her writings were very ancient fragments from the Delphic and the Pythian oracles. A host of silent observers gathered to see the Sibyl. They gazed upon her austere servants, each holding three ancient books reverently. Hundreds of pairs of eyes stared at the wondrous tomes, full of the secrets of the past and future. The Greek prophetess did not bow to the regent of Rome. Instead, slowly, she spoke in Latin. "I bring unto you something more important than the future," she whispered. As she spoke, a servant's torch kissed a brazen altar, and the flames danced up toward the dish. "What gift you have for the king?" asked a servant. A thin man descended from a once wealthy Etruscan family who had lost their estates to equestrian-class Latins. "I bring no gift." The court stilled. Only the fire filled the silence. The king stared hard at the Sibyl as she continued. "In ancient days we sat the thrones. Our visions saw the coming of kings, the fall of the sky, cities buried. We hid the words of the mother. We have gathered the books of Ugari, of Ionia, the Minya, Makan, and Shekelish, the secret Sibyls. We have seen our fall, the darkness in Ilium, barren fig trees in Cumae." The court listened, understanding that the seeress was revealing the fall of the Sibyls. but she stood majestic as she continued. You shall pay 10 talents of silver, 1 talent gold, and 1 bolt of fine cotton from Gopta in the 9 bows, king of the 7 hills, she whispered, as the eyes of the steward widened. The price for the Sibyl's books. Tarkin leaned forward, fist clearly betraying the mold of his mind. He spoke. I'll pay nothing. The court hissed when the pale, tattooed arms of the Sibyl grabbed the 3 holy books in the first servant's hands and tossed them into the fire. They crackled and burned quickly to the shock of the congregation. The servant collapsed to a knee, crying. You witch! The king of Rome stood gazing into the flames. 1,000 years of prophecies and secrets, codes and hopes cast into the fire. He sat down slowly as her words sliced quietly over the crackle of the flames. You shall pay 10 talents of silver, 1 talent gold, and 1 bolt of fine cotton from Gopta in the 9 bows, king of the 7 hills. The price for the Sibyl's books. The king said nothing. The steward opened his mouth, but Tarkin silenced him, right hand raised, staring angrily at the Sibyl. She waited only for the space of a breath. The second servant whimpered when the seeress snatched 3 books out of her grasp and thrust them into the cauldron. The fire hissed like a devouring serpent as the people in the court raised their voices in awe, in disbelief and protest. A twitch of fear passed over Tarkin's face. The third servant girl stepped backward in terror of the Sibyl, but backed into 2 large sapphic knights, protectors of the Sibyl. The prophetess of Cumae took her books and turned to glare defiantly at Rome's regent. You shall pay 10 talents of silver, 1 talent gold, and 1 bolt of fine cotton from Gopta in the 9 bows, king of the 7 hills, the price for the Sibyl's books. Several shouts from the court. A woman in the crowd begged the king to pay. Another voice cried out that he would pay 3 ships of sponges from Sardinia and 20 ingots of iron for the remaining books. Someone else yelled they would give her a vineyard estate for the remaining works. Tarkin said nothing, and the Sibyl did not hesitate. She cast 3 more books into the fire as the third servant girl fainted. Several moans, cries of surprise. An old woman in the back of the court wept loudly, body racked with shudders. The king stood and descended 3 steps. The sapphic knight stepped forward. The Capitoline guards raised their shields and worried, knowing of the fearless valor of the oath-sealed warriors of the goddess that had attained knighthood. The Sibyl said nothing as she gently took the 10th and final book, the largest, from the hands of a 4th servant girl. Her head bowed, tears on her cheeks. The Sibyl walked up the steps toward the king and thrust the book into Tarkin's hands. When she whispered, he was the only one who could hear her. You shall pay 10 talents of silver, 1 talent gold, and 1 bolt of fine cotton from Gopta in the 9 bows, king of the 7 hills, the price for the Sibyl's books. Tarkinius was forever known as the Proud. Tarkin the Proud. He paid the Sibyl. The last book of the Sibylline Oracles was treasured by Rome, copied, preserved, and consulted by the Roman Senate. Libraries throughout the later Republic and then the Empire were filled with passages from the Sibylline books. The Sibyl walked away knowing that nothing had been lost, for the 4th girl held in her grasp the whole of what the 9 were but parts. The ancient Greek prophecies were adopted into the writings of the Roman Church. In this way, we have much prophetic material preserved, even today, in the form of a prophetic text you know popularly as the Book of Revelation. The church never stamped out the goddess. It adopted her.